Welcome to Project I Am with Dr. David Schloss. Grab your coffee, green tea, or smoothie. Find your favorite listening spot or put on your walking shoes. Ready? Let's go.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Project I Am. I'm Dr. David Schloss. And in today's episode, we're talking about something that is not very understood, but is so much more common than we realize. Today, we're talking about limerence. Limerence is often described as an intense, involuntary state of romantic infatuation. It goes way beyond having a crush. It is a powerful emotional and physiological experience characterized by obsessive thoughts about another person, longing for reciprocation, and a deep need for emotional connection. People experiencing limerence often find themselves replaying interactions, daydreaming, or feeling heightened anxiety and euphoria, depending on how the relationship, or even the perceived signals of that relationship, are going. Now, unlike healthy attraction or love, limerence can sometimes feel overwhelming and very disruptive to daily life. It can affect someone's focus, their relationships, and really their overall well-being, because the person's attention is so consumed by the objects of their affection. That's why support groups like the one our guests lead are so important. They provide a safe space to talk openly about this experience. It reduces shame and helps the participants explore healthier ways of relating. Today, I'm so honored to be joined by two therapists who guide such a group, and we'll be hearing about their work and the insights they've gained walking alongside people navigating limerence. But before we get into it, here's the disclaimer.
This podcast is created for educational and inspirational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional mental health services, diagnosis, or treatment. Although Dr. Schloss is a licensed mental health professional, listening to this podcast does not create a therapeutic relationship. The content shared here is intended to support your personal development and mental wellness journey, but it should not be considered medical or psychological advice tailored to your individual situation. If you are in need of therapeutic support, please seek help from a qualified mental health provider in your area. If you are experiencing a mental health crisis, please contact a local crisis line or emergency services immediately. Views expressed by any guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily reflect views of Dr. Schloss or the views of Project I Am.
I want to thank the two of you so much for being here today, and I'm so excited to talk to you about this fascinating subject. And I must be honest, when we first chatted, I felt a bit embarrassed because I didn't know a lot about it. And then as you guys explained it, I was like, oh my gosh, that's what it is. I know the concept, even though not the official name. When you guys mentioned it, all I could think of was those vampires from Twilight and the way they shine. I'm like, isn't that what limerence is?
That's where my limerence started, reading those books.
To begin, can you briefly introduce yourselves and share what drew you to working with clients experiencing limerence?
Yeah. So I'm Phoebe, and what initially drew me to start working with clients with limerence was Julie and I were interested in running a group together. We were trying to figure out what might be a good population, what might be something that we would both agree on, have maybe even some life experience with. And it was actually Julia's idea to do limerence, and we have both experienced it in our lives. And I think just the collaboration of being able to have a group about it and to focus on it is what really made me more interested. And Julia,
Phoebe said, I think we were at the pool and we were like, have you ever experienced this? And I don't know. It's like one of those things that, like you said, isn't talked about a lot. And so when you discover, oh, I've been through that too, you're instantly like, oh, thank God, I'm not crazy. And so both being therapists, like Phoebe said, interested in group, we were like, this would be really cool because I haven't seen a support group like this. And I'm sure there are so many people that struggle with this and they just don't talk about it because it's taboo, it's embarrassing. But so yeah, just the community aspect around it.
I think group work is so special because of the universality part, right? The Me Too thing, and we're always comparing our insides with other people's outsides. And so in a group where people get to share that they're experiencing the same thing as we are, it really lifts shame. It feels so liberating. It takes us out of isolation. So I love that. But I think for our listeners, in the same way that I wasn't very familiar with limerence, can you define limerence in a clinical or therapeutic context? And how is it different from infatuation or actually being in love for real?
Yeah. So for a clinical, I kind of want to put it in words, layman's terms.
Put it in everyday words for us that don't know big words or have to Google big words all the time.
It's basically like your brain getting hijacked. That dopamine rush, that addiction feeling of being concerned with the person you have limerence for, known as your limerence object. Like everything they're doing, when are they going to text you back? Reading into every emoji they send. It really feels like your nervous system is going like extreme highs to extreme lows of, oh my gosh, I'm so glad this person texted me back. And they didn't. It's devastating. It's definitely tied to some attachment wounds, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, and I think a good way to tell limerence from love, because that love is very grounded and mutual and chosen and stable, whereas limerence, one of the defining qualities of the experience of limerence is that it's unreciprocated and it's very uncertain and it's obsessive. Limerence is very unstable. There's very high highs and low lows.
I love the way you guys spoke about that, and especially contrasting it to love, where love is very grounded. One of the things I was thinking is how the person who has a limerence object, how they can so easily, and tell me if I'm wrong, how they can so easily deceive themselves into thinking that there is more going on than what there actually is. And it's a bit of a fantasy going on.
Yes. So that reminds me a little bit of the cycle of limerence, which can be very prominent in people who experience neurodivergence in some way, like OCD, ADD, ADHD. And the limerence cycle is similar to, in some ways, the OCD cycle of having an obsessive thought, ruminating about it, and then going into fantasy. It isn't OCD, to clarify, but this cycle of rumination, obsession, and fantasy is similar.
As we say that, what came to mind for me was my celebrity crush, which I'm not going to share with you right now. But I can imagine that people that stalk celebrities have a kind of limerence. Is limerence something that happens with that population?
When we were doing our research, finding studies of how limerence could get into stalking, it's a spectrum. Obviously, I wouldn't say most people who have limerence are going to
traditional stalking of being in the tree. Probably internet stalking.
Right. And social media makes it so much easier. I think, like BB said, limerence can be comorbid. So much complex trauma, so much attachment wounds. It's different in every case. There's so much complexity to each client's case who might be experiencing it. But yeah, it is very obsessional.
When you guys were introducing this a few moments ago, you were talking about sitting by the pool and talking, and one of you saying to the other, have you ever experienced this? And so have either of you ever had a totally limerent crush, and any embarrassing stories that you want to share before we get too heavy?
Let me think.
I'm like, what can I share? To answer the question, yes, I've definitely had crushes. The nature of so many of my crushes when I was a kid, a teenager, and early adulthood felt a lot safer to live in the fantasy of what could be than actually putting myself out there and taking the risk of making the connection more withstanding. A lot of times with limerence, like the connection can't really be withstanding anyways because there isn't that reciprocation. So yeah, I can just remember keeping the fantasy alive by constantly looking at their social media profiles and reading into every detail. Like, what does this song mean? driving myself crazy, especially if you're in contact with them and they do talk to you sometimes. For a lot of people with limerence, they are receiving little breadcrumbs of attention. That can be very difficult because you will start to convince yourself like, oh, this means that this is going to go somewhere one day and we are going to be together forever or whatever.
Yeah, and like how you said, keeping the fantasy alive, I feel like that has definitely been my experience too. My thoughts being consumed by them throughout the day and being too scared to initiate, driven by fantasy and involved a lot of social media stalking for sure. Hoping I'd run into them, being so invested when they probably weren't invested in me.
The experience of limerence is so painful and distracting and all consuming. It's really not fun. It's not a laughing matter. It's like very painful.
It makes you think about nowadays where so many more people are feeling isolated, lonely. And as you were talking, I was thinking about going through the Starbucks drive-through and how if you do that at the same time every day and you have the same person serving you coffee, you learn their name and they remember your name and they're just doing good customer service, right? High quality customer service with Starbucks or any restaurant for that matter or anywhere customer service. Because of people's isolation and loneliness, the fact that somebody was so nice to you that they remembered your name and people beginning to read so much more into it. Oh, they must be into me when they're actually just being nice. And then you're getting disappointed when you ask them to meet for a drink or something. And they're like, no, that's not okay.
I feel like that brings up the root or the main point of limerence of it just being about connection and wanting that connection and creating the ideal of what that connection could look like and obsessing over it, riding those highs and lows just to get that connection.
You mentioned a few seconds ago about how painful it can be. We maybe feel sometimes a little bit embarrassed by it. We laugh about it, right? Or might joke about it a little bit. But the truth is it is really painful and it can cause these huge mood swings, these highs and these lows that impact people's work and their relationships and them showing up in the world. So what are some of the signs that someone might be in limerence rather than love?
Some that come to mind are having intrusive thoughts about the person 24/7, like actually all of the time, constantly scanning and needing to know how they feel, which is a little bit similar to codependency, but that's definitely a huge part of it. Of course, feeling extreme highs when there are contact and crushing lows when there's none, which is comorbid with anxious attachment and codependency, but I think all of those together and the idealization, like putting them on a pedestal, the fantasy, ignoring the red flags and really idealizing the fantasy, not even really them. And then I think the biggest piece of it might be making them your main source of emotional regulation. The contact is your main source. That's how you decide how you're going to feel that day.
When this begins to happen, there's maybe a hook or spark. What then fuels this and keeps this going on? How do people get so hooked on this? I'm thinking of dopamine hits, brain chemistry. From you guys, what keeps people in this and gets them so hooked?
Yeah, I would say uncertainty is a huge piece of it. Not knowing if someone likes you back. That instability and uncertainty gets your brain hooked into trying to solve the mystery. And then you're adding in like childhood needs, attachment wounds, something's being recreated there to try to get this need met that wasn't met from the past. And your brain loves it. It feels good. So yeah, it's definitely seen amongst with disorganized attachment style, that push, that pull, creating that fantasy, childhood emotional neglect.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think the thing about not knowing the uncertainty, if I wait just a bit longer, just a little bit more, I don't want to give up on this yet. And that idea of false hope.
Yes. The idea of false hope. I think people really get lost in the fantasy and the what if and the maybe one day. And it's very hard to let that go, to let the possibility, quote unquote, possibility go.
Yeah. So you guys started a group for people experiencing limerence. What are the benefits for somebody joining a group like that? Why did you start a group? What do you hope people get out of the group, and how's that going for you guys?
Yeah, obviously the community, the validation, being seen, taking the shame out of it is like a huge one. Let's talk about it. Keeping it a secret is just going to almost grow the obsession. Yeah. So bringing it into the light with other people who struggled with it, there's so much power. And Phoebe and I, when we talked about it, that was the intention. So let's talk about it. It doesn't have to be a shaming thing.
And for there to be a space where this is the focus of the therapy, this one specific all-consuming thing that many people experience is the exclusive focus of the group therapy of the hour. I think it is offering a place for people to go deep with some of the root causes. We've done some sand tray in the group therapy, which has been really exciting and insightful. We both really like experiential approaches, like internal family systems, sand tray, some somatic work. So yeah, I think it's just a place to really go deep with that and be supported and come out of the feeling of being embarrassed and knowing that you're not alone. And there are things that you can do to help understand this better, accept this part of you better, and move forward.
And adding to that, like psychoeducation, like Phoebe is saying, we hope you get skills out of this of how to manage this better in your day-to-day.
I think one of the other things I love about group work is normally in groups there are people at different levels of recovery or development, and when people are all experiencing a similar phenomenon because of their familiarity with it, they can call each other out on their bullshit, right? They see through the lies and the justification and the rationalization, and they also help each other have insight.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
What kind of healing or insights do people experience when they realize that they're in limerence, where they can actually put a name to this thing that they're experiencing?
I think healing is very complex, but it's also very gentle and self-compassionate. I think when you start to have self-compassion towards the part of you that is limerent and taking the shame out of it, and realizing this is human, I think that's really the biggest piece of healing that happens. I can have grace for myself in this moment. This is hard. I'm struggling. Let's talk about it and have some kindness towards ourselves.
I think that's a real big deal, realizing that you're not alone, that other people suffer in a similar way, and that there's support for you. Some people have this idea that a lot happens very quickly, when the truth is it's oftentimes a very slow process, but that's because it's deep work. It's not, here's a skill, learn it and move on.
Yeah, I would add on to that, like a lot of the work do is learning to like emotionally regulate, learning boundaries. And I think that helps. And it's like a holistic sort of healing.
Yeah.
This, it's doing the trauma work as well as having your community of people who struggle with it.
So if one of our listeners has a friend who's experiencing limerence and doesn't want to let go, how would you advise the listener to support a friend?
Yeah, I think that really comes down to meeting them where they are. There's a reason they're not ready to let go of the limerence yet. And I don't think that anybody needs to be forced away from their attachments. I think that can only happen with your own willingness to move towards something like that. So I think I would approach that as a friend or a therapist with curiosity. What is this limerent part doing for you? What is its role in your life? What does it look like? Just trying to understand the quality more. Often the limerent part is giving someone hope or connection or fantasy or peace, even in some like weird, confusing way. And I think just gently exploring that will at the very least help lend more understanding to the person that's having the experience that can feel very ungrounding and confusing sometimes and very shameful. Like, why do I keep, what the fuck's wrong with me? Why do I keep like doing this?
I remember when we spoke previously, one of you mentioning how understanding limerence is like a portal into us understanding our unmet relational needs. It makes me think about this thing that's going on is meeting a legitimate need. It's just meeting it in an unhealthy way. Taking that away before it's replaced with something else can actually cause more harm than good. Hence the need to be gentle and compassionate and understanding.
Yeah, it's if you, like another analogy of if you take somebody's opiates away from them and they go straight into, that doesn't work. Your brain freaks out. And so that's why they put you on something else to detox you from your addiction. It's a lot of the same way. This is a gentle, slow process. And we're going to take pain out of it.
I was looking at the additional questions about playful philosophical curveballs, and I'm reading some of them and I'm giggling a little bit on the inside. I want to ask you this one. If limerence were a character in a movie, who would they be?
Wow. Now that you brought up Twilight, honestly, Dr. Schloss, I feel like my limerence is like Bella and Edward's love. It's just like intense. It's like that fantasy of teenage romantic. This is what it is.
This guy watching you while you sleep, like crawling into your bedroom. In another movie, that would be stalker, serial killer material.
Yeah.
I feel like Bella and Edward both have a little bit of limerence for each other in different ways.
Any other movies with characters?
I think Charlie from Perks of Being a Wallflower is somebody who has experienced limerence for, what is that girl's name? Emma Watson's character. Yes. Have you seen that movie?
I might have, but it feels like it's ages ago and I'm old, so my brain and memory.
Some of the listeners will know what I'm talking about. The way that Charlie is in love, obsessed with Emma Watson's character and it never lets it be known, just as silently suffering and really obsessed with her. He'll do so much for her, takes care of her, and she just thinks they're friends. I think there's definitely some limerence. Juliet from Romeo and Juliet, like in one version of Romeo and Juliet, like she's very in the Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet. Has anyone seen that one?
I've seen that. Yeah.
Like how she's like overly romantic and high stakes, so she doesn't have any impulse control.
In the examples that we mentioned right now, all of these examples look like teenagers. I want to make sure we make this clear to the listeners. It's easy to reduce limerence to teenage infatuation when in fact it is so much more than that, and older adults experience this across the lifespan.
Yes. People of all ages experience limerence, not just teenagers. I think it's very exemplified in like teenage characters because the quality of how limerence expressed is often very similar to that kind of teenage obsession or teenage love. But people of all ages are experiencing limerence, not just younger people. In our group, we have people from our age, mid-20s. And we have people who have had interest in the group that are way older, 50s, 60s, 70s.
The other question, as I was thinking about the funnier types of questions, what's the soundtrack of limerence? If you could make a playlist, what's on it?
Okay. Adele for me.
Yes.
She is singing about some, so just the vibe of Adele is giving limerence.
I would totally agree. We've actually made a limerence playlist. I would say a lot of Faye Webster songs. Some of the listeners might know Faye Webster. She's very limerence queen. All Too Well by Taylor Swift, the 10-minute version. Very limerence.
I've seen Lana.
Oh, Lana Del Rey. She's a limerence girl for sure. Yeah. She and all of her old men that she's in love with and her songs.
Do you have one, Dr.?
I'm sure there's a musical that is actually all about limerence and it doesn't even know it. But I'm going to have to give that some thought.
Oh, there definitely is.
I was thinking about Rent and then Moulin Rouge. And It's got to be in there somewhere. It is a classic theme, even though people don't necessarily know that yet or understand it. What about this question? If your Lumran's part had a name, what would you call it?
I would probably call mine literally Crazy Girl. You know how when you do IFS and you have all the different names for a different part? Yeah. That's probably what I would call mine, with no shame for her being a crazy girl, but that is just literally what came to my mind.
Julia, what about you?
Maybe like Starry-Eyed Susan.
Starry-Eyed? Do you say Starry-Eyed Susan? It sounds so sweet and nice. Like, it sounds way too nice of a term.
She's a lovely girl.
So, you guys are having this in-person support group.
Yes.
If people are interested in finding out more about, you know, if they're students in counseling programs and they want to start a similar group in their city and want to consult with you, or if there are people in the greater Austin area that want to find out more about Lumran's, how can anybody connect with you?
Yeah, so we have our Instagram page, Lumran's Girls ATX, all lowercase. And then you can also find our support group on Psychology Today.
If you look up Lumran's Support Group Austin, it will show up on Psychology Today. So that's us under Phoebe Cacchetti or Julia Berg. That's the group. Or hit us up on Instagram. And we would love to consult with anybody. And we are still accepting some more members to the group too.
That's so beautiful. I really want to thank you both, not just for doing this podcast with me, but for doing this work and being bold enough and creative enough to put something out there for people to be part of, that's going to be part of their healing journey. I think it takes so much to put this kind of stuff out there, and takes boldness and courage to start things that maybe other people aren't doing. So I appreciate that so much. Any closing thoughts that you have? If somebody was listening to this and they think, oh shit, this is me, what would you want them to know? Besides, they are not alone.
That healing is possible. You can understand it and manage it, and you can look back and be like, okay, I overcame that. Yeah. It's possible. I think a lot of people feel hopeless. They're like, I feel so out of control. Why am I acting this way? I'd never act like this before. What is this person doing to me to make me feel this way? So it feels like a tornado, and there is a way through it. It is a process. It is a journey. We'd love to support you through that.
Thank you for that. Last time we chatted, I think you mentioned merch, like yeah, with t-shirts, caps, bumper car stickers, something, badges. Do you guys have?
No,
we don't. We will mark our words. We're going to have at least like a cap or something, yeah, or stickers, but yeah, not yet. That's the later phase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you say that, I know I should have asked this earlier, but as I'm thinking about it now, because I was thinking about a cap that says I'm a Lumran girl or whatever. Are men in your group as well?
There are no current male group members, but we're open to it.
So. We are open to women, men, non-binary folks. We love to have you.
Oh, that's good to know. I think there's maybe a disconnect there as well, that people don't understand that men experience this too. Yeah. And I can also imagine a group specifically dedicated to men might also be beneficial, because men can feel so shamed by it.
We talked about that last week of what if we start a men's group for this, for that exact reason, because I think men might feel comfortable around our men talking about it. Gender fluid people.
Thank you so much for what you're doing. I will be sure at the end of the podcast, if you guys are looking for any information about Julia or Phoebe, I'm going to post it in the show notes at the bottom. I'll also post a link to their Psychology Today page. If you're looking for them, click on the link in the show notes. Julia and Phoebe, thank you so much for being here today and for the work that you're doing in this field. I'm super excited for you, but I was actually also a bit excited about the merch for some reason.
Send me
a cap that says Lumran's Girl on it or something. Shine in all your Lumran's. I'm sure you can come up with some great catchphrases. Thank you again for being here. Have a wonderful weekend. Appreciate you so much.
God bless.
Sir.
sunglasses, sunscreen, and sun smiles. You're gonna love it.